Coming to you a block away from the Sherpa Grill, we're here at Aunt Helen's Coffee Shop. And by the way, Aunt Helen, thank you for allowing us to sit down with Tara Norris Rasmussen. She is the publisher of the Greeley Lifestyle Magazine. Of course, many people out there are wondering, what is Greeley? I've heard of Greeley. Of course, in the oil and gas world, it's Weld County, which is a very large oil and gas producing county. You go over to the western side is where you get a little more of the natural gas in the Grand Junction, Frutia area. But right here in Greeley, Colorado, we've got a lot of agriculture from sheep to cattle to, I guess, grains and crops. We'll say crops. We'll call them by the actual word, crops. Greeley has got so many different economic avenues. You would be impressed by the quality of life that is here. And so when I saw the Greeley Lifestyle Magazine, I was really excited. So I reached out to the publisher, and her name is Tara Norris Rasmussen. It used to be Rasmussen, but she's recently married. And
used
then
used to be Norris, recently married to Rasmussen.
Oh, did I? Dyslexia of them?
Yes.
Yeah, I do that. I have dyslexic interviews at time. It's not, I don't read that way. I just have the interviews that way, so I apologize. So Greeley Lifestyle Magazine, I thought this was a very appropriate magazine because when I think of an oil and gas community, the oil and gas companies focus so much on the community quality of life. And when I found out you actually used to be in oil and gas, I thought, well, what a natural progression for you because so many people in oil and gas want their story told.
Yes.
And what better way to tell it than through a magazine, through print, which goes online. And once it's online, then you can do a number of different things from video to audio to whatever, you know, get into social media, a number of different things. But so that's a little preview of what we're going to talk about. But how are you doing here today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to not only share what we're doing with the magazine, but kind of talk about the bridge between oil and gas and Greeley Lifestyle, which is a really neat story in itself.
What was your background in oil and gas? You were a land man, aka land woman, aka land negotiator, depending
yes.
on which circle we're in today.
That is correct.
So talk to me a little bit about your background in oil and gas.
Yeah, so I started out at the bottom answering phones 10 years ago in the oil and gas industry and really just worked my way up. I studied petroleum land management at Oklahoma City University so I could learn the industry while I was, I got a little internship with a little group called Tecton Energy down in Highlands Ranch, and they had a project here in Windsor, Colorado. And so I worked the Windsor project, I ended up working on the Windsor project with three different companies. And after, you know, I kind of went cradle to grave on this Windsor project and then moved to the Uinta Basin in Utah. Worked the Uinta Basin for a few years and ended up back in Greeley.
When you say Windsor project, are we talking Windsor, Colorado?
Windsor, Colorado, just yes. Just
few
down the
stone's
street.
Throw from
yes,
there.
Still okay. in Weld County.
One of the names I remember, of course, when I was in my publishing days, mostly because of the Windsor, the alcohol drink. You didn't know that, but
no.
I used to do a magazine here in Greeley, Colorado with the newspaper. We did a home and lifestyle magazine, a kind of a building, decorating, landscaping, and remodeling. And
awesome.
That was in my former publishing days.
I
and
would
so,
love to see it.
I saved one copy of each magazine I did, and we had partnerships with 52 newspapers across the United States.
Wow.
So we did 48 magazines in 45 days during the fourth quarter before Christmas holiday edition.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And we had to stagger them out, you know, because every newspaper, they had to get them in, you know, because uh-huh. everybody does a holiday edition.
They do.
You
yes,
know that.
That's a big
so,
one.
okay, so let's talk a little bit about the transition. We had somebody on last year that really stands out in my mind. He was with, his name is Mike Renfrow. Blue Boat Subsea. So he had been in oil and gas for 28 years. 100% business in oil and gas. COVID hits. Him and his business partner decide that they're going to do some wind and renewable RFQs or RFPs, still do the same oil and gas ones. Well, in 1 year, their business went from 100% oil and gas to 20% oil and gas, 80% wind, because that's where the money was. That's where the marketplace directed. He did offshore.
Oh, wow.
And his 20% oil and gas was decommissioning pipelines.
Oh, wow.
So here he's putting, and then he's like putting out the doomsday of these are all European companies and, you know, all that other stuff. But, you know, when I thought about that, that really hit home to me. We had talked to a few other people. A couple went into real estate. Another one went into law enforcement. That one was interesting because that one made a lot of sense to me.
Yes,
coming
absolutely.
Going from oil and gas to law enforcement. Real estate, of course, same thing. And you're starting to hear more and more of these stories. What's your story from petroleum to publishing?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in the industry. My dad's a geologist. And so I watched my entire life the ups and the downs of the industry. You know, and I saw a lot of people leave, and I always felt really sad that they had to leave oil and gas. But now I feel so much gratitude having, you know, transitioning out of the oil and gas industry. Now I can look at it through a different lens, and I have so much gratitude for the things that I learned within the industry, and I see that other people have done the same thing. So many incredible experiences and opportunities that that industry has afforded me and people just like me that we now get to take and move and use those tools and use those lessons and those experiences as we transition to other industries. So now I look at it in a very positive way. The oil and gas industry was such a gift for me, and I see for other people as well. Instead of it being a sad thing, it's just really it's a story of gratitude and a story of opportunity, really. So for me, you know, I loved every moment in the oil and gas industry. I had such incredible experiences that I never expected, and so many doors and opportunities were there for me. And, you know, I never thought I would leave the oil and gas industry. But the opportunity, I was working in the Uinta Basin with a small group. There was five of us, a little startup, trying to get money to drill. And we were traveling all over the country, talking to private equity groups and educating people on the Uinta Basin. And we called it the sleeping giant. So much oil in that basin, and no one's really talking about it. And so we were just very excited to be really diving into that basin and seeing the opportunities that were there for us and for others. So unfortunately, the way that that basin, the situation it's in right now, with such a high wax content in the oil over there, that the refineries were really at capacity with no plans to expand and grow. So from a private equity standpoint, that didn't make a lot of sense. No one was wanting to invest in the Uinta Basin at the time, and this was just a couple of years ago. And so, you know, we learned a lot. We had a great time. Now we still, our little company is called Bear Lake Resources, so we still have that. We're just a little tiny non-op, and there's just two of us now. And that's kind of my very, very side gig, very small. We don't spend a lot of time on that little group, but we still kind of, you know, we've hung on to it, and it's a good revenue source for us. So as we wound down Bear Lake Resources and had to realize that we weren't going to get the funding to drill that we wanted, and our big plans were not going to come to fruition, I started to kind of be open to other opportunities. You know, I loved starting at the bottom of the oil and gas industry and really working my way to the top. I found so much joy in that journey. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to look at other industries, see if there's somewhere else that I can start at the bottom and work my way up and have a similar experience of just the joy in the journey, the learning and the growing as a person. And so I came across the opportunity to start a magazine in Greeley. City Lifestyle is a company out of Kansas City. And right now they have 117 magazines across the U.S., and they were looking to have a magazine in Greeley. There's 14 magazines in Colorado, and I got very excited when I saw the advertisement. It was actually on LinkedIn Jobs for this magazine, and it said, you know, at the bottom of the listing, it said, no publishing experience necessary. I'm like, I'm perfect. I'm perfect for that job. I have no publishing experience at all. But what really spoke to me about that, the opportunity was, you know, coming out of COVID and all, everything that we've lived through, people have been so isolated. They've been so isolated from each other and from their communities. And these magazines are helping people feel connected to what's going on right in their own town, mm-hmm. right in their own city. And so to be able to bring that to Greeley and to help reconnect people after everything we've been through over the last couple of years, and to tell the incredible stories of Greeley. Greeley is just a really special place. I've lived in 6 different states and multiple communities within those states, and moved a lot because of the oil and gas industry and other reasons. But, you know, to really dive deep into the community of Greeley and to see what makes it a special, special place has been such a joy. And the community has just really, really loved the publication because we get to share, you know, the stories of the people that make it such a great place, and the businesses and the nonprofits, and how supportive this community is. And I think communities across the country, when you really, you know, dive deep and get to know the inner workings and what makes a community tick and what brings people together in that community, and every community is different. But every community has that, you know, some communities that may be buried a little deeper and it may take a little more work to share those stories. But everybody has those stories, and it's just a joy to be able to share them.
And folks, this is a quality publication. I mean, we're talking, is this 100-pound paper on the inside? It's at least 80-pound for sure, if not 100-pound. Then you've got this 120-pound stock cover with a perfect bound on it, and nice, gorgeous professional photos along with the write-ups that go, oh, there you are with your hat. Look at that. Oh, and then you've got, oh, the staff. Look at that. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about this magazine and how it's being accepted here. You mentioned that the town is really enjoying it, and I'm looking through this. Great advertisers in there, nice little variety. When I think of the next level of Greeley, you know, I think of the ag and energy merging together, of course. I think of technology really bridging the two together. You know, I think of like the stockyards. Is that what they're called, right? The stockyards, whatever the cattle thing is outside of town where there's 20,000 head of cattle or whatever. I mean, there's a great little drone business for somebody waiting to count those head of cattle if they don't already have it, and the sheep and everything. So that's that next level where you're going to see, you know, safety things being implemented, monitors. And so I think you're going to see a little bit of a surgence coming in here to where I'm going to have a lot more friends down at the Sherpa Grill. But, you know, a little variety is what I'm getting at.
Yes, there's a lot going on here.
Yes.
People think it's always just been agriculture, farming and cattle, but there's really a lot more to Greeley. You know, there is the oil and gas industry is so big here, but they're quiet about it. You know, so many of the oil and gas workers, you know, companies are started here. You know, a lot of the employees live and work right here in Greeley. And then we have quite a variety of other places and other businesses that really thrive here.
And they're really starting to change, too, with telling their story, the oil and gas companies, you know. And this is one of the ways is it's coming out, meeting with you, talking with you about some of the things that are happening out here in the world of either oil and gas or with the community development. Because one thing about the crude life is that we don't look at the oil and gas industry like the normal person. We look at it like from the cafe to the flower shop to the magazine publisher to the roughneck to the CEO to the corporate attorney. That's the industry. Oh, and by the way, the guy that sells toothpaste, he's kind of involved with the industry too, so he could even come on the show.
Yeah,
because everybody's got a story involving oil and gas in some way or another.
They do, and that's the story that needs to be shared, and that's the story that finally the industry is starting to share, and they're starting to talk about it. People don't realize, you know, how oil and gas affects every single bit of our life, every single day, and the quality of life that we have because of it.
How are you balancing the non-oil and gas life? And what I mean by that is that I did the reverse of what you did. Mm-hmm. I came from publishing into oil and gas. So when you, and folks, just so you know, when you have a publication, whether it's the free penny shopper at the grocery store, or it's a quality publication like the Greeley City Lifestyle publication, or it's Time Magazine at the airport, the emails and phone calls you get, those are your shareholders, man. Those are the people that really do have a bigger voice than you can ever imagine. And so when I was doing a city magazine, we did the city magazine in Fargo for about a decade. And, oh, boy, you had to get some thick skin pretty quick. And then when I got into oil and gas, I was okay with that. But I started seeing in Colorado here back in 2015 was that thank you for that. Back in 2015, and I started publicly talking about this when I was staying in Fort Collins, I used to enjoy talking to strangers at the breakfast bar. Well, pretty soon, individuals like yourself would look over their shoulder before they mentioned they worked in oil and gas when they talked to me. And I thought that was bizarre. Well, then, of course, we all know the progression of Colorado to where the governor actually said war on oil and gas a couple of years ago. So, you know, I've been actually seeing this happen and documenting it. So on the reverse side of things, here you are. You used to be in oil and gas, and now you're not in oil and gas. You're actually kind of the eyes and the ears for the busy people out there today. So they're looking to you as a public trust. How are you handling that? Because we can go a lot of different directions with this, and I don't want to. Actually, I don't mind at all. Well, I'll give you a good example. So in Fargo, North Dakota, we've got a great coffee company called Thunder Coffee. And they're from Williston, North Dakota, and Sidney, Montana. We're talking the heart of oil and gas, the Bakken, right? Well, they moved to Fargo to pursue some other opportunities during the downturn. They opened up a coffee shop. They had to stop saying they came from oil and gas because of the Fargo nose wrinkle, which was a lot like the Fort Collins look over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. But the nose wrinkle is a little bit more direct and mean. So I don't know if you're experiencing anything along these lines, or you're even aware of some of these issues that the oil and gas industry are going through. But, you know, to me, this is a difficult question. It puts you in a very difficult position, but you're also a publisher of a magazine. Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
How are you handling that, by the way?
Well, you know, I'm used to it. I've done a lot of neighborhood meetings where we taught people about the oil and gas industry. There were a lot of angry people, a lot of people that would, you know, shout at me as I'm walking out, or, you know, attack us at these meetings.
And this is when you were
working. When I was in oil and gas. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And so you get used to it. I would take a lot of phone calls. I became the point person.
Excellent training, by the way, for
yeah.
just dealing with life.
Yes, you absolutely. Know. And being able to relate to people and then try to really understand that they've been misinformed, that they, you know, they have their own perspective of and way of thinking of things. And, you know, and then my job is to, you know, peacefully share with them, you know, the truths that I believe about the oil and gas industry and the positive impact that it has even on their life. So, you know, I'm really used to that, having come from the industry. And now that I'm in publishing, sometimes I get people will be really quiet when I say that my background is in oil and gas, because I tell pretty much everyone that, because it's an important part of my story. And a lot of the reason why I'm in this industry in publishing now is because of my background in oil and gas. And so I certainly don't shy away from sharing that. And a lot of people just kind of get quiet with it. Whereas before, they were more vocal with me about what they felt, you know, speaking their mind about it. So, mm-hmm. I haven't had it, and it helps that I live and work in Weld County right now. There's a lot of pro oil and gas here and a lot of really good support for the industry.
Good
which
place
is awesome.
For you to land as opposed to Boulder.
Yeah. Yes.
Be interesting to see how an oil and gas publication would do just in Boulder, right?
Yeah.
You might get a lot of oil and gas sponsors, though, just out of spite. Who knows?
Yeah.
Genius idea.
Absolutely.
Might work. Hey, Greeley, Colorado, Weld County. I laugh because, you know, they wanted to succeed over to Wyoming. And so they do love their oil and gas here. They really do. And a lot of it is because there's a lot of tradition. And two, they see it firsthand. And one of the things that we try to do with the crude life is we do try to educate people much like a publisher would on a grassroots one-on-one level, because you do have people come up to you at your kid's soccer game and they'll start, because you're in the media now, they want you to go scoop a story and you're like, I don't really do investigative. I do soft news. We'll do a story on your son's soccer team, yes, but I'm not going to go investigate your competition's business, no. So I don't know if you've gotten any of those yet, but they start coming out of the woodworks and that sort of thing. So, yeah. But it is kind of fun because people come with all kinds of different stories and they come at you with how they want to make the community better. And that to me is what's fun. And that's where I think you can really help oil and gas. And that's one of the other reasons why I wanted to sit down with you, is because you want to help oil and gas. You want to help them tell their story. You want to help when people come through Greeley and Fort Collins and other areas to pick up the Greeley Lifestyle magazine, visit it online. I see you're active in social media. You've got the Kansas City corporate office helping you out too on the social media front, and that helps too.
Yeah.
Because we're in the eyeball business if we're in the media business, right?
Yes.
So we want as many people putting it out there as possible and everything. But how are the oil and gas relationships, communications, and that sort of thing?
You know, really great. We're actually working with a large operator right now to do some stories. You know, I feel like what we need to do, number one, is we need to put the faces of the oil and gas employees in the magazine, and we need to tell their stories. We need to say these are families with children that live and work and play in our communities, and they give back, and they're great people, and they're doing the right thing every day, sharing those stories. And then number two is sharing what the industry businesses and companies are doing to give back to the community, because it's astounding. And they don't really talk about it as much as they could. They don't really share all of the great things that they're doing in the community. They do it quietly, and they always have done that. But now I think more than ever before, it's really important for the communities to know all the good that those oil and gas companies are doing, all of the things that they're contributing to, all the things that they're sponsoring, all the things that they're building for the community. It's really impactful, and I think those are the stories that we need to tell, and so we are working on some of those coming up.
You know, I do think, too, if I'm talking to maybe the marketing directors or the executives or somebody who likes the public relations to keep an eye on it, or if you're in the finance world, actually, now because of the new ESG revolution, environmental social governance revolution, that is dictating much of where the investments in banking is going, telling your story in an outfit like this is the way to go for a couple reasons. Number one is you're telling your story. You're able to control your voice. You're able to control your message. You're able to get it out there in a way that is going to be, a lot of times in a magazine, it is a very soft, it is a very inviting. You mentioned the pictures. Did you know People Magazine was the number one magazine forever? I think Reader's Digest might be number one, but as far as real size magazines, it's just because of the pictures of the people.
Wow.
That's why, because in magazines, people like pictures. So it's interesting you say we need to see pictures of individuals and families. That's exactly right. So if I'm sitting up there in this high-level executive public relations marketing, and I'm looking through my pie charts, where to go, this and that, I'm taking a step outside of that silo and echo chamber and saying, we need to start doing investments. We need to start telling stories. We need to start putting our eggs into baskets that go outside of our echo chamber, because that's where a lot of people like you are going. A lot of people like Mike Renfrow are going. I'm thinking Kendra Martinez is another one off the top of my head that we interviewed that are part of this. I don't want to, but I have to leave oil and gas. Mm-hmm. We need you as our ambassadors more than ever. And so that's why I'm saying I think there's a line item for like the transitional out people to kind of help them, because they can turn on the industry fast, not because they want to, just because that's where the dollars are directing. Does that make sense? And is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Without putting them in a corner. I don't want to back baby into a corner.
Yeah, no. It's tough to get jobs in the oil and gas industry. There's a lot of consolidation going on. And that, you know, a lot of people are left wondering what the next step is.
Well, our business partner, morning show partner, Sterling, he came from Saudi Arabia. His dad worked in oil and gas, and he never worked in oil and gas. His wife works at a bank, and I think she even voted for Bernie Sanders at one point and somewhere along the line. So just to give you an idea what his home life is like. But he's got such a respect for oil and gas, and it is so interesting to hear his perspective, you know. And I think of him often, and I think of you now, and I think of Mike Renfrow as people who are grateful for the industry. In Sterling's case, he never worked in it, but he grew up in it, actually in Saudi Arabia, to where they had to do missile bomb drills in case the Iranians bombed the refinery, which happened a couple years ago, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Has your elementary school ever burned down? Mine has not. Sterling's elementary school had to actually do the Iranians are bombing the refinery down the road drill. I think of that and I laugh so hard going, fire drills are like real. Fires happen. Your thing's never supposed to happen. So anyway, but I think about the people who are actually ambassadors that are either transitioning because they're not getting business, or some people are leaving upset. And that's the people who I think need the most education and the most calming down, because they've put their heart and soul into the industry. A lot of them have. Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit more than a boom and a bust. For some people, it's a done. It's a finality. You know, there's kind of that vibe that's in there. And so I do look at you as an ambassador of the industry right now. I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you feel that you are?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Okay. I'm a huge, huge cheerleader for oil and gas, and I always will be.
Well, how can people help you? I mean, obviously you take advertising. You take story ideas. Do you
Absolutely.
Take social media follows?
Yes.
Let's
all
go through
above.
All the gamuts, how all people can give you money, how they can give you story ideas, how they can... Well, there's a lot of ways that people can support these days. There is.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Sharing and liking stories is a big way,
mm-hmm.
you know. Social media policies, I'm hearing now, that's the new thing coming out mm-hmm. next year.
Yes.
Social media people have got a lot of power for organizations. So mm-hmm. if you're in charge of the Chamber of Commerce's social media and you don't have a social media policy, you will next year.
Yeah, lots of changes.
You will.
Yeah,
oh, people are absolutely. Noticing that certain individuals are getting a lot more shares and likes created by organizations that have hundreds of members.
Mm-hmm. You're right. There is a lot of opportunity for partnership and supporting each other online.
Right.
And sharing out for people that are very well deserving and liking their posts and things like that. Absolutely.
So, and I hate to see politics get involved in that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. that's why it is. So how can people support you?
Well, you know, if you're in the Greeley area and you want to do something together, the sky's the limit on different things we can do. I love story ideas. You know, I love people that want to market with me. You know, we're always looking to partner with businesses, individuals. Mm-hmm. If someone has a great story to tell, there are city lifestyle and lifestyle magazines across the U.S. We've got 117. We're also looking for more publishers. Oil and gas industry folks who are looking for a change and a transition have a great set of tools. I'd love to talk to them. We have a lot of opportunities there, lots of jobs. So people can reach out if they're interested in that as well.
Are you quarterly?
Monthly.
Oh, you're monthly. Oh, you're aggressive in today's day and age. Wow. Okay.
Yes. There's so many stories to tell. There's so much content opportunity. We're out there every month with a new publication.
Can someone subscribe?
Well, we have a digital copy.
Okay.
So they can go to citylifestyle.com/Greeley and they can subscribe to our digital copy.
Okay.
And they can also go to citylifestyle.com to see where we are across the U.S., our list of publications.
How does somebody get the physical copy? Let's say I'm in this and I want to frame it because I'm in it. How would somebody get the physical copy?
Yeah. So we direct mail 7,000 copies here in the community. And then we have them at coffee shops all over town where people can pick them up.
Okay. So I imagine there's an annual fee for postage and that kind of thing?
No, for a direct mail, the 7,000 we mail out, those are just direct mail to.
Oh, homes. I see. I see targeted locations.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it.
Subscriptions are digital only, but you get the digital copy every month on the 1st. And
well, that's a great
can access
model.
It. Yeah, can access it from anywhere. So.
Well, no, that solves a lot of problems in the circulation department, actually.
Yes.
And it bridges the advertising. Yes. And it's actually, yeah. As a former publisher, yeah, that solves a lot of problems in a lot of different areas.
Makes
you bet it,
easy. It
does. Well, seriously, because these things, the magazine industry is not going away. The newspaper industry, that's a different story because of the frequency. The magazine industry, because of the paper, because of the quality of the photographs, because of somebody like yourself's eye making sure that a piece of crap doesn't go out, because that is a big part of it. Image is a huge part of the magazine world because you want your clients to look good. You want your stories to look good. You want the kid that's on the cover's parents to be proud to show this to people. Because that magazines will never go away. Plus, you can touch and feel it.
Yeah, you know, I think there is something about touching and feeling the paper and holding it in our hands that really builds mm-hmm. trust with our readers. And we, you know, online, digital, it's a lot. It can be overwhelming. It can mm-hmm. be exhausting. We always have our phones in our faces. So for our readers to be able to just take a break from that and hold a magazine in their hand, it's making a comeback, and people are really appreciating it.
It is starting to make a little bit of an uptick, which is kind of fun. And I knew it would be the magazines that would survive because of the shelf life of the actual magazine. And also there's a certain documentation of a magazine versus, you know, a newspaper type of a thing. And I'm not dogging newspapers. I've started in the newspaper industry at age 10. I was a newspaper carrier, 1099 employee. No kidding.
Wow.
Back then, that was a fun podcast. A few of us old newspaper guys were on there. We were the last generation of the 10 and 12-year-old 1099 employees.
Wow.
Which the Monopoly newspaper told us where to bank. We didn't even get to pick where we banked. I didn't even realize that till one of the newspaper carriers brought that up to me later in life. And I'm like, how does that work? Hey, I was my own business, but they made me bank there. Okay. All right. But the magazines are great because of the documentation, because of everything else. The newsprint, though, the one thing the newspapers have as an advantage is they probably create about 80% of the internet's content, because most of the content comes from newspaper reporters and magazine writers, and then the rest is a reaction to that. That's the one thing the newspaper industry still does have, is they have reporters that report the news. Magazines have got beautiful quality, beautiful people, excellent stories, soft news. You can layer new, you know, the National Geographic, Scientific American. That would never work in a newspaper because it's recycled 3 hours later. You want to take it on a Saturday afternoon, you know, that's where, look at me like I'm a magazine salesman. But I was a magazine salesman for a long time. So I'm very passionate about my magazines. And I'll tell you another reason why is because when I go hiking or I go to the beach, I love reading magazines. Mm-hmm. You can't read a Kindle. Come on. Let's get real here, folks. Come on.
That is true.
So any final thoughts? Anything we missed out? Anything you want to cover?
I don't think so. I just appreciate being able to share this story. And, you know, we all have a story to tell. And no matter where we are in life, and grateful for the opportunity to talk about my background in oil and gas and continue to support it any way I can.
As one final word, I guess, one final thought, I would like to just kind of frame it as such. What advice would you have for someone who's facing the reality of they may not be working in oil and gas next year? And that's the safest way to say that.
Great question. You know, when I was looking at transitioning out, I sat down with myself and I asked myself, what do I love the most about the industry, about my everyday life in the industry, and what am I really good at? And the answers to those questions really helped frame what I was looking for in my next stage of life. So that's what I would recommend to people is they have, everybody has their own gifts and their own talents and what they're good at and what they really love, and to kind of sit down and evaluate that as you look forward and just have faith that things will come together for you.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And what was that website again?
www.citylifestyle.com/Greeley.